If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of This Week in History, and I want to kick off this episode with a huge apology to my loyal listeners. It has been probably near enough 2 months now without an episode. Now, there has been many reasons for this, main one being the fact that I have changed the position of my job from working away from home to working at home, which gives me less time, free time, let's say, to actually record episodes and get these things out. So it has caused a few issues, and I do apologise for that, and I'm going to do my best over the next coming months to try and build you guys back to a sense of normality and a sense of episodes on a regular basis. So obviously, like I said, apologies from me, and we shall move on. We are going to talk today about a very famous battle in British history, and it is from a war that I'm sure many of my American listeners know very, very little about. So we are talking about the Battle of Goose Green. Now, this is quite famous in British military history, even though it is kind of recent history, and this battle took place during a war known as the Falklands War, which many of you probably have heard of. So before I get into the battle, I do want to do just a little brief overview of the Falklands War for those of you who don't know much about it or where it started and things like that. So the Falklands War was from April to June in 1982. It began as a long-standing territorial dispute between Argentina and the United Kingdom over a small group of islands known as the Falkland Islands. Now, although the war only lasted for 74 days, its roots stretched back almost 150 years to the 19th century and involved questions of national pride, colonial legacy, and political desperation on both sides of the Atlantic. The Falkland Islands are a small, windswept group of islands in the South Atlantic Ocean, about 300 miles east of Argentina and about 8,000 miles from Britain. The islands were uninhabited when first discovered by European explorers in the 16th to 18th century. However, both Britain and Spain, or later Argentina after its independence, established short-lived settlements and claimed sovereignty at various times. In 1833, a British naval force expelled the small Argentine garrison from the islands and reasserted British sovereignty on the land. From then on, the islands were continuously administered by Britain, though Argentina never accepted this claim. By the 20th century, the UK saw the islands as a long-held overseas territory populated by people who identified as British. Argentina viewed them as illegally occupied Argentine territory taken by an imperial power. Throughout the 1960s and 1970s, the dispute simmered. The United Nations encouraged both countries to negotiate a peaceful solution, and Britain and Argentina held talks about possible joint administration or transfer of sovereignty, but no agreement was ever reached. The islanders themselves strongly opposed the idea of becoming Argentine citizens, and by the late 1970s talks had stalled completely and tensions were rising. Now, the political situation in Argentina was pretty bleak. By 1982, Argentina was ruled by a military coup, and it was led by General Leopoldo Galtieri. The regime was deeply unpopular and facing economic collapse, inflation and mass protests over human rights abuses and repression. The military leadership believed that seizing the Falklands would stir up national pride, distract from domestic unrest, and unite the country behind the government. They also assumed that the British would not respond, especially militarily, viewing the islands as a distant but a symbolic possession, and the fact that they were 8,000 miles away. However, we had Margaret Thatcher, and she did not do things on the sly. She saw them as British people, and she was going to intervene if it escalated. And in March 1982, a small group of Argentine scrap metal workers led by a naval officer landed on South Georgia Island. They raised the Argentine flag, defying British orders to leave, and the British dispatched HMS Endurance, a small ice patrol ship, to the area, leading to a tense naval exchange. April the 2nd, 1982, the Argentine military launched Operation Rosario, a full-scale amphibious invasion of the Falkland Islands, and around 600 Argentine Marines landed near the capital, Port Stanley, and overwhelmed the small British garrison, which had around 80 Royal Marines. Governor Rex Hunt ordered a brief defence, but eventually surrendered to avoid civilian casualties. Argentina declared it a victory and reclaiming Stanley and celebrating a wide victory back at home. British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, facing her own domestic troubles, immediately condemned the attack as an act of aggression and territorial theft. Britain assembled a naval task force of over 100 ships, including aircraft carriers HMS Hermes and HMS Invincible. The United Nations Security Council passed Resolution 502, demanding Argentina withdraw and calling for negotiations. When Argentina refused, Britain sailed south. So, that's a pretty much, it is a very brief overview, and this is what one of the most famous battles that actually happened. The Battle of Goose Green was one of the first and most famous land engagement of the Falklands War. It was fought between the British and the Argentine forces from the 28th to the 29th of May 1982. Now, it was only a small battle, but it was fierce and it showcased courage, confusion and leadership under extreme conditions, especially that of British Lieutenant Colonel H. Jones, whose actions would become legendary. So, like I've said, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher dispatched a task force to reclaim the islands. This wasn't a diplomatic mission. This was go and get it back. By late May, British troops, mainly the 2nd Battalion and the Parachute Regiment, 2nd Para, had landed successfully at San Carlos Water on East Falkland, and from there, they planned to move east towards the capital, Stanley. But before the advance could happen, they had to secure the southern flank, where a significant Argentine force occupied the settlements of Darwin and Goose Green, connected by a narrow isthmus. The 2nd Para had around 600 men, commanded by Lieutenant Colonel Herbert H. Jones, and supported by three 105mm light guns from 8th Battery, 29 Commando Regiment and Royal Artillery. Helicopters for limited supply and casualty evacuation and naval gunfire from HMS Arrow. They were facing around 1,000 Argentinian troops, from the 12th Infantry Regiment, the 25th Infantry Regiment, and the Air Force and Navy detachments. And they were supported by mortars, machine guns, and light artillery. They were also in entrenched positions around Darwin Ridge and Goose Green Airfield. So they had more men, and they had better positions. However, they weren't as well trained, and this is a very common theme throughout British history. The reason the British were so successful in historical battles was how we trained, and it is still to this day. The reason the British Army is one of the most feared armies in the world, even though we have more Coast Guards and lifeguards in this country than we actually have soldiers, it is the training they go through. They are so much better than many, many countries around the world. And that's not me being big-headed, that is just a fact. Ask anyone who served alongside the British military from any country, they will tell you the British are the ones you want on your side. Anyway, the battle begins on the 28th of May, 1982, and in the early hours, the second para...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Began their advance from the north under the cover of darkness. Their plan was to surprise the Argentine position and push through to Goose Green by daylight. However, the terrain was open, windswept, covered in grass. It was a complete open field covered in wind. They were very, very easily spotted. There was no availability for stealth. And as dawn broke, Argentine lookouts spotted the movement, and machine gun and mortar fire erupted from the ridgelines. The A and B companies of Two Para took the brunt of the fighting as they assaulted Darwin Hill and Goose Green Ridge. Despite heavy fire, they managed to overrun several Argentine positions through close combat and bayonet charges. Now, I've never been in the military, but I can imagine that's one of the most nerve-wracking thing, is running into gunfire with a bayonet. You know, you don't have... Yeah, I just can't even imagine it. It's just pretty scary. As the battle bogged down near Darwin Hill, the British attack stalled under fierce resistance. Seeing his men pinned down, Lieutenant Colonel Jones personally led an assault up the gully to outflank the Argentine trench line. It was an act of raw bravery. Jones charged forwards under intense fire, reportedly firing his submachine gun and throwing grenades. He was hit several times and killed while rallying his men. Despite his death, Jones's bold action inspired his troops to push forwards. His leadership became symbolic of the courage and determination that characterized the entire campaign. He was later awarded the Victoria Cross, which is the highest British military honour for his gallantry in this battle. Following the death of Jones, Major Chris Keeble, the battalion's second in command, took over. Exhausted and low on ammunition, 2nd Para regrouped and reorganised. Keeble coordinated artillery support and psychological tactics to break the Argentine resolve. By the afternoon of the 29th of May, British firepower, including accurate artillery and naval bombardment, forced the Argentines back to Goose Green itself. Surrounded and demoralised, many began to surrender. At around 9:30 a.m. on the 29th of May, Lieutenant Colonel Italo Piaggi, the Argentine commander, surrendered with nearly 1,000 troops. The British captured large quantities of equipment, weapons, and ammunition, and liberated around 120 civilian islanders who had been held in Goose Green's community hall. So the British actually had 64 wounded, no captures, and 17 killed, which included Lieutenant Colonel Jones. The Argentinians, 86 wounded, 55 killed, 950 captured. They were pretty well exhausted. The British did an extremely impressive job being outnumbered in bad positions and, yeah, essentially won the day. Now, though in a small scale, the Battle of Goose Green had major symbolic impact. It was the first significant British land victory in the Falklands War. It boosted morale in Britain and proved that the task force could defeat entrenched Argentine troops. It demoralised the Argentine troops on the island and setting the stage for the British advance on Stanley, the capital. Lieutenant Jones became a national hero, though his death did spark debate about the risks of senior officers leading from the front. Strategically, the victory cleared the southern flank and allowed the British forces to continue their push east towards Mount Longdon, Two Sisters, Tumbledown, and ultimately Port Stanley, where Argentina surrendered on the 14th of June 1982. The Battle of Goose Green remains a study in leadership, courage, and tactical perseverance. It showed that determination and discipline could overcome numerical disadvantages and difficult terrain, and that individual acts of bravery can change the course of a battle. So, it's quite an impressive battle, and for the Falklands, it did sort of lead towards the British winning the war. It was one of those really strange parts in the war that, had it not have happened, you wouldn't know necessarily whether the British were going to come out on top. You know, we were 8,000 miles from our homeland. There was no real way of reinforcements. The British sent the troops they had, and that was it. They didn't have any more. They didn't have the ability to call, to get troops to them quickly. I mean, 8,000 miles, you couldn't just fly planes over. The Argentinians had the ability of being only a few hundred miles from their coast, had the ability to reinforce their troops, their navy could reinforce, their air force could reinforce, and essentially winning the first battle of the Falklands War was probably one of the major turning points in the war. There were other battles, but this is one that is quite famous because, yet again, we see this as British people, that there is a lot of history where the British are outnumbered quite drastically and somehow they come out on top. And there is always this story of heroics in the British Army, and Lieutenant Jones is no exception to that. I mean, to be awarded the Victoria Cross is obviously one of the highest, well, not one of the, is the highest medal to be awarded in the British Army. So this battle is probably not well known across the world. I'm not sure how many people know much about the Falklands War, but it was a strategic battle, and it was one that I find very fascinating. It was, we talk about Margaret Thatcher. I think we have done an episode on Margaret Thatcher probably about 100-150 episodes ago. It was quite a long time ago. And we did sort of talk about her turmoil as Prime Minister. She was loathed and loved by the British people. There was a lot of people that really liked her and a lot of people that celebrated her death a few years ago. So it's one of those things where you look at the Falklands War, she was up for re-election, and the Falkland, winning the Falklands War and standing there on stage and saying, you know, the British will defend everyone under the British flag. And that's what she did. She sent the troops and we defended the British people under the British flag. And it's a strange one because, again, I always feel not necessarily guilty about colonialism, but we had a vast British Empire and not all good. You know, there were some really good things that came out of the British Empire. I mean, people talk about the bad things out of the British Empire, but if you look at places like Hong Kong and Singapore, who are economic powerhouses now thanks to the British, and that is purely down to the colonialization of those countries. So it wasn't all bad, and the British did bring a lot of things to a lot of countries. You know, we bought sanitation and railways and road structures and things like that to India. There was a lot of things the British did that was good. So when you look at an island 8,000 miles away from British homeland, and those people would rather be British than they would be Argentinian when they are literally on the Argentine border, speaks volumes for the impact of colonialism across the world. But it's only a short episode, but I just wanted to try and get back into the swing of these and try and get you guys back into a nice quick little episode where you're enjoying it and you're back in and you come back and listen a little bit more. So we want to try and bring everybody back. I do apologize, like I said right at the start, for these episodes being so far apart. It's just unfortunate that one of those things in life has taken over. So I will be doing some more of these. I think I am going to try and keep these episodes down to little snap episodes at around 20 minutes, because it's a lot easier and a lot more likely for me to be able to get these out. So thank you for listening. And like I say every week, join us on Facebook and you'll know when the next episode's coming out. So on Facebook, just type in This Week in History. It'll come up with the same little logo that you see on your podcast screen right now. And yeah, we shall see you next time. Thanks for listening.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.